Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Black Friday has officially started at Blinds.com, and the savings are huge. Right now, you can save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Don't wait. These deals are happening right now. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. With Blinds.com, there are no long lines or confusing quotes. You shop online without sacrificing quality, style, or service. One of our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Plus, you get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Blinds.com's Black Friday sales event is happening now with our best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
All right, we're expected to be joined by Steve Berlon coming up in less than a half an hour. Before we get back to the calls, which we will try to do, no promises, got a lot of content to do, and away we go on our dueling Super Sunday six-packs in the NFL. That's right. Two segments rolled into one for most. That's because we are the show that never stops. We are the show stoppers. Matty Ice on the other side of the glass. Me, the Rooster. Cock-a-doodle-doo to you on a frigid Friday, disgusting afternoon in the nation's capital, and perhaps beyond. But let's get it going, baby. It is indeed football weather. First six games against the NFL spread. We got to make the picks on Friday. We don't have, of course, even the Friday injury reports, which color a lot of things. So sometimes the picks are going to vary a little bit more, and we're going to have to take one on the chin. But we get it going this way. Game number one, off of his perhaps most productive, normal kind of, oh, hey, the light is on. For Caleb Williams, the Chicago Bears are 3.5-point dogs to the Minnesota Vikings. The Minnesota blitzing defense is really, 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 really tough to deal with. Against that offensive line, I very much worry for Caleb Williams' health and safety. That being said, and even though DeAndre Swift is a little bit banged up, and again, that could further the problem, I like the Bears in this game. You know what I don't like? Minnesota's offense right now. Matty mentioned Sam Darnold last hour. Kind of been struggling. I know at times he looked okay last week. Got it. And that's a pretty good Titans defense, which we'll see here next week. But I haven't liked Sam Darnold in his entire career. I thought he was a fraud coming out of USC. What happened with the Jets didn't surprise me. I think he's had a nice bounce back year here. But again, I'm not one of these guys that coaching overrules everything. Kevin O'Connell can't make the decisions and make the plays for Sam Darnold. And he has been a little spotty here over the last 4 or 5 weeks. Interceptions, turnovers, what have you. Their offensive line has taken a major hit over the last 3 weeks or a month without Christian Darrisaw. I like the Bears defense to get to Sam Darnold. Now, again, I expect the Minnesota defense to keep the clamps down on Caleb Williams, especially if DeAndre Swift can't play. But I think Caleb's got some weapons that he can probably make something there at home. Give me the Bears as the home dog. Just barely. Pun intended, blowing that game last week to Green Bay, plus 3.5 Bears in game one. Game two, we talked about Patrick Mahomes. Of course, Daniel Jones and Patrick Mahomes are the same quarterback, right? I did that to be a jerk.
I'm just happy that today's the end of the week for us.
The Chiefs, looks like they're getting Isaiah Pacheco back. Off their first loss, kind of a shortish week. They played Sunday evening in Buffalo, back to Kansas City, now out to Carolina. They're the champs for a reason. I would almost never do this. The Chiefs are 10.5-point favorites on the road. The Carolina Panthers are awful. I know they're trying. I feel bad for my guy, Dan Morgan. I like him. He's the GM. Follows me on Instagram. Give me the Chiefs minus 10.5. As road dogs, 10.5, baby. Game three. In Sin City. The Broncos. One of the best stories in the NFL. Bo Nix. Do you believe? I do. Perfect fit, perfect system for him. Lots of screens, lots of short stuff, rhythm, timing, all that. Good defense. The Vegas Raiders are terrible. They've got nothing going on. I hope Antonio Pierce doesn't get fired because 1 year is way too short of a sample size. I know I'll probably be feeling worse about this on Sunday night than I do right now, but give me Denver. Minus the 6 on the road. So that's back-to-back. Almost and above touchdown favorites on the road. Let me do it again. Actually, you know what? Hang on. I'll give you a game in between. Green Bay and San Francisco, Lambeau Field. Mid to late November. I'm sure the weather is going to be great, right? I haven't looked at it, but I'm sure the weather is going to be great. What could possibly happen at Lambeau Field in mid to late November? Brock Purdy is banged up, had an MRI. They're on alert. Oh my God, Brock Purdy, not right. They've already lost Brandon Ayuk. Sure, they got Christian McCaffrey back. Yes, that's helped. The 49ers are all sorts of banged up. They blow a bunch of games. Now they're not at home, so maybe that helps them. Give me Green Bay. -3 at home against San Francisco for game four of our Sunday Super Six Pack. Game five. I was going to give this to you in conjunction with the two road favorite picks, but I'll give you a third road favorite pick. And no, it's not the Dallas Cowboys. The Philadelphia Eagles, off of their fourth quarter dominance, let's call it, against the Washington Commanders, head to SoFi Stadium against the Rams, who soundly beat the New England Patriots on the road last week. Matthew Stafford, 4 touchdowns, Puka Nacua, Cooper Kupp, all of that. Kyren Williams did not have a big game. They didn't need him. They will need him on Sunday night. And that Philadelphia defense, as we all know, even though the Rams offense probably better when clicking on all cylinders than the Washington well, definitely better. The Philadelphia defense should be rested, fresh. That's not an intimidating environment. That's going to be a home game for the Eagles, even though they've got to travel 5 hours by plane. Give me the Philadelphia Eagles. -3 favorites on the road, because they ain't on the road at SoFi Stadium over the Rams. -3. And game number 6, right here at Northwest Stadium in Landover, Maryland. The rivalry that I'm out of touch with, it just means more. It means more to beat the Cowboys than it did to lose to the Eagles or to beat the Giants the week before that. The Dallas Cowboys, as we explained earlier in the show, give up too many rushing yards. The Commanders do that best. The Commanders should throw the haymaker with the double move, Terry McLaurin, especially against Trayvon Diggs. They do that early. They can get themselves a 17-0 lead, something like that. Maybe it's 14-0. Who knows? You put pressure on Dallas, so on and so forth. Defense keeps everything in front of them. Sure, Dallas is getting a little bit healthy with De'Ron Bland coming back. Looks like they're going to get their other wide receiver back. I got it. I still like Washington, minus the 10.5. Very large number. Very huge. Very huge. But they're at home. They're rested, I think, sort of. They are determined and motivated to get back on the bicycle and to ride it correctly, which they have not done the last 2 weeks. I think against this Dallas defense, which is the strength of their team, but is still a little bit spotty, to say the least. They got another injury. Marcus Bell, one of their starting safeties, gone. Give me the Washington Commanders. Matty, minus 10.5! I've never picked the Commanders at that kind of number. Well, then again, we haven't had that kind of number in a really, 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 really long time. I'm sure I'll be regretting this, much like I'll regret that last press room hot dog. But give me the Commandalorians, minus 10.5. Do it for Bobby G, baby. Do it for Roberto. Bears, plus the 3.5 over Minnesota. Chiefs, minus 10.5 at Carolina. Denver, minus 6 at Las Vegas. Green Bay, minus 3, home Lambeau Field for San Francisco. Philadelphia, minus 3 at SoFi. Sunday night football against the Rams. Washington, minus 10.5. In case you're with me, that is across-the-board favorites, with the exception of the Bears, plus 3.5 at home against Minnesota. 5 out of 6 favorites. Homie, don't play that. 30-34-2 on the year. 4-2 last week. Feeling good. Feeling froggy. Now, our top 6 teams in the NFL. Last week, it was the Chiefs, the Lions, the Bills, and this is 1-6. Chiefs, Lions, Bills, Ravens, Philadelphia, and the Steelers. This week, as we told you, we were going to have a number one. I don't think anybody should be shocked about that. But the question was, should it be the Lions or should it be the team that just beat Kansas City? And for me, even though the Bills beat Kansas City, I got to give the Lions their due. Unlike Grant Paulson, it's not just about kissing Ben Johnson on the butt cheeks. No, no, no. It's Brad Holmes. I'll kiss him on the butt cheeks because he's the architect. He's the GM. He's the man that makes it happen. Brad Holmes, my guy. God, what a stud. He's the GM, by the way. You don't know about him because nobody in the media will talk about him besides me. Brad Holmes of the Detroit Lions, the number one team in the NFL. According to me, number two. I am going to go with the Buffalo Bills, who then beat the Kansas City Chiefs last Sunday. Josh Allen playing out of his mind. Defense has been better than I thought with all the injuries and defections. Give me the Bills at number two. Number three, the Kansas City Chiefs. Can't dock them too much. They barely lost a road game, but they did. But this is more of a indictment about how they've played for the most part all year. They will be better. Trust me. They will be better. Number three, the Kansas City Chiefs. Number four. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Sorry about this. The Philadelphia Eagles. They moved up a spot even though they haven't played. Sorry, they moved up a spot. Number five, the Baltimore Ravens. I mean, the Ravens are obviously a very... They struggled a little bit against Cincinnati, right? The Ravens are a good team. They're not perfect. but they deserve to be in the top five. Philadelphia, then the Ravens last week. It was reversed. Ravens, then Philadelphia. This is a feel thing. And number six, the Steelers were there last week. Can't put them there, right, after their loss? Right? Can't put them there. So who are we going to put at number six? Number six. Let's do this. Let's put the Houston Texans back in. I'm not a big Texans guy. I'm not feeling it this year. But they kicked the crap out of the Dallas Cowboys on Monday night. And they are 7-4. I could have put the Chargers. They are charging hard, pun intended. I could have done that. I could have put Green Bay at 7-3. Thought about that. I'm going to just kind of give a tip the old cap to the Houston Texans. Maybe I'll be wrong. But for now, that's the way I see it. So, in case you have fallen asleep during this segment, which you shouldn't, number one, the Detroit Lions. Number two, the Buffalo Bills. Number three, the defending two-time Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs. Number four, the Philadelphia Eagles, even though they haven't played a game since we last ranked them at number five. Number five, the Baltimore Ravens. The Ravens did lose in Pittsburgh last Sunday. But I still have a healthy dose of respect, Birdie, to put them over the Houston Texans, who come in at number six. And there's your top six and your dueling Super Sunday six-packs right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. It is the most revolutionary, evolutionary, absurd, preposterous segment of all time. Nobody's ever done it. Nobody's ever combined those two in one segment of radio. And we didn't even need a stupid committee. Unlike others, we did not need a stupid committee. And we had no honorable mentions because, you know what? Screw you. Nobody needs honorable mentions. Coming up next. Before we get to Steve Berline, we'll do a quick cleanup on aisle three. And we will return in just a moment, right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, we're heading down the home stretch here on a feel-good football Friday. Before we get to Steve Berline, let's get to cleanup on aisle three. I hope Matt's okay with it. Because I didn't really ask. What we may have missed. What we forgot. What we need to touch on. What we promoted that we didn't get to. And even if it's just a minute or two, a mention.
Clean up in aisle three.
Clean up on aisle three. Ah, yes, indeed. This one won't affect this week's game, but how about this? The Commanders have already caught a break for next week's game. Remember L'Jarius Sneed? Super Bowl winning cornerback for the Kansas City Chiefs? Didn't allow a touchdown until the playoffs last year. Then allowed two, one including one in the Super Bowl. Well, he signed a big contract with the Tennessee Titans, but he injured his quad, and today he's been put on injured reserve. Actually, tomorrow he'll officially be put on injured reserve. He took a helmet to the thigh area in week six. It was initially decided, diagnosed as a quad bruise, but a scan said it was a strain, and it didn't improve. It's been tough. It's kind of hampered him. He's only played in five games this year, and it's just not getting any better despite him not playing. So they're finally putting him on injured reserve. What the hell took so long is what I would ask. What the hell took so long? I'm just wondering. That's a really, 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 really long time to be patient and to wait. Somebody screwed up something there. That helps the Commanders next week. Just a little look at it. We mentioned this earlier in the show. The Broncos and the Chargers have been flexed in week 16 to a Thursday night spot. Week 16. So this makes all the sense because the Broncos and the Chargers are actually playing good football, and the Browns and the Bengals, while the Browns won last night, while the Bengals are exciting, neither team is probably going to the playoffs, certainly not the Browns. So they were moved to Sunday afternoon. The Broncos and the Chargers, obviously, are at least one should make the playoffs, maybe even two. We'll see. So they got the game moved from Sunday, December 22nd to Thursday night, December 19th. I was worried about this from an Eagles-Commanders perspective, even though the Eagles and Commanders were already on Thursday night. I was wondering if they might try and pull a fast one here and get, again, two big markets on Thursday night football, what have you. And ultimately, they didn't. The league has an amended policy this year so that Thursday night games in week 13 through 17, weeks 13 through 17, and again, right now we're in week 12, could be flexed with at least 28 days notice prior to the game. Right? So it's a large advance window. So it's unlikely that the Commanders are going to wind up in this spot, but it is possible. It is possible. And teams could make more than one appearance on, the rules say, only two games per season in that five-week window can be flexed. So this is one of them. But teams could make more than one appearance now on Amazon Prime Video and their 16-game package. Again, it's unlikely for this year. But it is possible that they could be flexed into a Monday night window. It is possible they could play that Atlanta game on a Saturday. It's possible that they could play that Philadelphia game on a different day than Sunday. Just something to keep in mind. Wanted to get to that. And finally, the Capitals lost last night to the Colorado Avalanche 2-1. It was a fast-moving game. Pierre-Luc Dubois scored. He finally got some puck luck late in the first period, and the Capitals never scored after that. Colorado scored two, and it was kind of a defensive first game, as you'd probably tend to expect against better competition without Alex Ovechkin. And Colorado's still pretty good. And Colorado won. Caps off until tomorrow night against New Jersey at home. Wiz in action tonight against the defending champion Boston Celtics right here on the Team 980. 6:45. Good luck. Coming up next, Steve Berline. Sorry, ma'am. I always stomp all over you. I apologize. Coming up next, Steve Berline from Compass Media Networks. He'll be on the call for the Cowboys and the Commanders. He joins us next. All right, as we open the show with, again, Daniel Jones released from the New York Giants, John Mara in a letter and a statement said he came to him and asked for his release. Of course, it's been a tough week as he was put at safety for the practice squad, scout squad, and also was moved to the fourth string quarterback earlier this week. Daniel Jones officially released by the New York Giants. He won't be a free agent until Monday. We're just telling you about L'Jarius Sneed going on IR for the Tennessee Titans. Former safety Patriot safety Jabril Peppers is going to face a trial in January for pleading not guilty to being arrested on charges that includes strangulation and drug possession back in October. A $10.5 million demand was made by the plaintiff, which Peppers turned down, according to Peppers' attorney. And again, the Celtics and the Wizards, as the Wizards try and break a 9-game losing streak here on the Team 980, right after Craig Hoffman, beginning at 6:45. And that's what's trending. All right, good to have you with us as we wrap up shop here on a Feel Good Football Friday, heading towards Commanders Cowboys. Pregame coverage beginning at 9 a.m. and continuing with the DOC, Rick Doc Walker, on your way out of Northwest Stadium, win or lose. And many people think it'll be a win for the Washington Commanders. Joining us now is somebody who will be on the call for Compass Media Networks on Sunday afternoon from Northwest Stadium. And he is a he's always a Super Bowl champion, won a Super Bowl with the Dallas Cowboys back in the early 90s. Steve Berline is with us on the BetQL guest hotline. Steve, it's Chris Russell back here in D.C. Thanks for doing this. How are you?
Hey, Chris. I'm doing great, man. How are you?
I'm doing great. Appreciate your time. I know, you know, we as broadcasters, and you are obviously in a different level than I am, not supposed to be fans or whatever, but how much harder is it to do these games when you know there's little to no expectation of winning, little to no expectation of making the playoffs? Because that's not something that's common when it comes to the Dallas Cowboys.
No, and it's in the way it's been this year, especially with their home games, but it's starting to become a trend, you know, no matter where they play. It's, you're just hoping for a close game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're just saying that, you know, hopefully we'll have something to talk about when you get late into the third quarter and into the fourth quarter, because, you know, if the game gets out of hand, it becomes more like a radio talk show. And, you know, you're just kind of grabbing for things to talk about. And, but you're right. I mean, I'm not a fan of any team really other than Notre Dame, where I went to school, and I really follow them closely. And I follow, obviously, all of the NFL. But really, you don't find yourself rooting for a team. But what's gone on with the Cowboys, and obviously I have history there and really enjoyed my time there, and I enjoy what I'm doing now. But it is very, very unusual to see the Cowboys struggling like this for an extended period of time, and with no way to resolve it in sight. You know, they're not getting better as they go through this, and it's just been a very, very difficult time for the organization. And you know, I think everybody, including us, are hoping for at least a good game coming up on Sunday.
Yeah, Steve Berline, Compass Media Networks, will be on the call again at Northwest Stadium of the Commanders and the Cowboys. Make sure you follow him on Twitter or X, at Steve Berline, Super Bowl champion, Pro Bowler, NFL passing yards leader. Nice enough to join us here for a couple of minutes on a Friday on the Team 980. So who would you, from a Cowboys perspective, again, 360-degree view, who would you say is most responsible for things going wrong this year? Because, Steve, I have a hard time killing Mike McCarthy. They won 12 games in each of the last 3 years. But if I use that argument and defend Mike McCarthy, then I say, well, I can't just then kill Jerry Jones. But I don't know. Jerry Jones makes all the decisions. So would you just put it on bad luck, bad whatever, injuries? How would you kind of, I guess, point the finger at?
I think it's been a big bowl of soup, all of those things thrown into it. You know, there's really no way to point your finger at one aspect. I mean, even Dak Prescott, you know, he got his contract, and before the injury, he wasn't playing that well.
Right.
I mean, he was having arguably the most ineffective, inefficient season in his career. And he was making some bad decisions, throwing some bad interceptions, and really not stepping up when the team, you know, when these games start getting out of control, you look to your franchise quarterback to step up and make a play to keep the game close. And that's what the great ones, that's what Mahomes, Josh Allen, and go back in history, the great quarterbacks step up. Even if they're not having a great day, they can find a way to make a play to get their team back in the game. And that just wasn't happening. So, yeah, you can go into what happened or what didn't happen with the Cowboys this offseason. A lot of people attacking them for not being aggressive at all during free agency. And I think Jerry Jones, probably looking back, probably in retrospect, would reflect back and say, hey, you know, we should have gone after maybe a Derrick Henry or, you know, found a way to, you know, sign a couple more impact-type guys than they did instead of just sitting with what they had and, you know, trying to rely on guys, bringing back guys like Zeke Elliott. I mean,
sure.
I think the whole NFL knew that Zeke Elliott was you know, coming up on the final stage of his career, not a whole lot of gas left in that tank. But Jerry wanted to ride with him as the you know, the number one running back, and that has not paid off very well for the Cowboys, to say the least. But injuries have been a big part of it. I think Mike McCarthy, you know, he deserves some of the blame. I don't know. I'm not in the locker room. But the team is not playing with a lot of passion either. And they played harder this past week, no doubt about it. They were flying around a little bit more and were competitive all the way to the end. But in general, it's not been a very passionate football team. When these games get out of control it looks like guys are kind of going through the motions at times. So there's a lot of fingers to point. It's not a good situation right now.
Yeah, there's no doubt that's the way it looked late in that game. Guys were disillusioned and all that, and that's understandable. But, you know, the one thing I pointed out to my audience earlier is, you know, they've been terrible at home, but they've won three road games, and they won back-to-back road games against the Giants in Pittsburgh. So I know Vegas and whatever puts a 10.5, people think it's impossible. I don't care about any of that stuff, Steve. You know, this is a wounded animal right now, but they still have a little bit of a bite. Do they not, or do you kind of look at it as like they are Dunsky?
Well, they're an NFL football team, so we all know. And that the old saying is kind of cheesy, but on any given Sunday, you know, these guys are all paid just like the Commanders are. And they have standards and they're competitive guys, and they don't like being the whipping boy, you know, on the football field. And if it comes together for them, they get themselves ready, have a nice game plan. And I keep saying during these broadcasts to my partner, Kevin Ray, we just need something good to happen. We need a couple of good things in a row to happen to get the chest puffed out a little bit, get the confidence up, and get them feeling like, okay, now we've got some chemistry, we've got some rhythm. There just hasn't been a time in as far back as I can remember this year that you really felt like, okay, we're actually kind of starting to click here a little bit. Even in the games we won against Pittsburgh, and as you said, you know, at the New York Giants, obviously the Giants game was not that big of an accomplishment when you look back at it. But, you know, to beat Pittsburgh, even though it was Justin Fields in there, that's a good football team. You go to Pittsburgh and play, that's a win that should have maybe started to kind of turn this season around a little bit, but it didn't. And for whatever the reasons, I don't know. But I can tell you this, I've been on teams that have been struggling, and if they start clicking and putting it together, obviously in the NFL, any team can beat any team, and it wouldn't surprise anybody if the Cowboys were to step up at some point, and maybe it will be this Sunday. But I know that Dan Quinn and the Commanders organization, they're not taking the Cowboys lightly. They know what they're capable of, and I think they'll expect to come out and play a very good football team come Sunday afternoon.
Steve Berline, longtime NFL quarterback with us, and Compass Media Network's NFL analyst, will be on the call for the Commanders and the Cowboys this Sunday at Northwest Stadium. Nice enough to join us here on the BetQL guest hotline. So I don't want to put you in a bad spot, but obviously everybody kind of knows the writing on the wall with McCarthy's contract. It looks like he probably won't come back. I don't also want to put you on the spot and say, hey, what about Deion or Bill Belichick? What kind of coach do you think? Like, if Steve Berline could, like, crystallize the kind of coach that this organization is likely looking at and probably needs. Is it a veteran? Is it a first time? Is it a guy looking for control? How would you kind of, I guess, crystallize that in your mind?
Well, I wouldn't even want to speculate. I think there's so many different ways to go. You know, Mr. Jones obviously has been under extreme scrutiny for the last several years about the fact that the Cowboys haven't been able to get it done at the level that was expected. Even off the 12-win seasons the last 3 years in a row, I think there's been only one playoff win. So I think that there's going to be a question of how much control Mr. Jones and Stephen Jones want to have of the team in terms of that, you know, GM kind of role and the personnel that's going to be who's going to have the final say on that kind of stuff. And, you know, if you have an established head coach and even a guy with a big personality like Deion, whose name keeps getting thrown up into the mix, you know, those guys are going to want to have say in their personnel. So I don't know. It's all speculation right now. I'm sure the Joneses are starting to put together a plan and formulate it. There's going to be a lot of good choices out there. It's just a matter of how the dynamics are going to work and if they can find a way to make an agreement on it.
What do you think of Jaden Daniels? And I don't know how much you've gotten to see of him either on TV. I don't think you've been on the call for any of his games, but what do you think of his evolution so far? And do you make a lot out of some struggles here over the last two games against very good defenses in Pittsburgh and Philadelphia?
Well, let me just go on the record. I've, from day one, been a huge Jaden Daniels fan. I think he is the real deal, without a doubt. And I covered him several times. This is my first year doing the Cowboys full time. So I've been doing some college and NFL the last couple of years.
Sure.
And I think I had at least three or four Jaden Daniels games over the last 3 years and enjoyed watching him develop and, you know, the evolution of him as a quarterback, especially from his second, you know, I don't know what they call his junior year.
Yeah.
There's so many years out there with these guys, but going back to the year before he won the Heisman, I was impressed, but I thought there was still a lot of room for growth. When I saw him his final year at LSU executing in that offense, I was like, this guy has got it figured out. He now looks like a real NFL quarterback in terms of how he gets set up in the pocket, how he goes through his reads. And then you combine that with the unbelievable athletic ability. You've got yourself something special. And the way he came out of the blocks, I mean, I after the Commanders drafted him, I predicted that he would be the NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year. I still feel that way. I'm a huge fan, and I'm looking forward to seeing him up close and personal this Sunday. And I expect him to finish out the season strong as long as he can stay healthy.
Yeah, you know how difficult this position obviously is, not only from a physical standpoint, but from the cerebral side of it. I think the thing, and maybe, Steve, you walked away with a different feeling, the thing that has jumped out to us most is maturity and poise and how hard he works. Were you able to see a growth in that from any of the games that you were around or any of the times you were around? Or did it was it more just the physical on-the-field presence that you were able to tell?
I think it's a little bit of all of it. It's the way he carries himself. It's the way he interacts with his teammates. It's the confidence that he projects, the energy. You know, he doesn't look like he is leery or stressed or anxious or worried. He looks like he's excited to be there, and his teammates kind of feed off of that. And, you know, even if they do go through, you know, a bad series or have an off day, you don't see him walking around and projecting the energy that a lot of these, you know, these first-year quarterbacks can do, where they feel like they're a little bit overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm.
He never seems that way. And you watch him in the interviews. You watch the way he interacts with people. He just looks very comfortable in every possible way. And I think that confidence and that energy, it's very contagious throughout the whole football team. And you know how it is. You guys have seen it here in the past over the years, where when a team gets that confidence, when they start believing that they belong and that they expect to win football games, that's an incredible combination.
And, yeah.
In the NFL, that goes a long way. These teams that get hot, it's because they start walking around with that chest puffed out, like I said a little bit earlier, and they start thinking that they're pretty good and they start expecting to win.
Yeah, DQ has had a big part of that. Dan Quinn as well. I don't know how well you know him, but you know he's that kind of dude, right? I mean, he's got the backwards hat and all that, but he just projects a certain, I don't know, confidence, you know, a certain feel in the air, which quite honestly they haven't always had around here, you know, at the head coaching spot. Steve Berline with us. He'll be on the call for Compass Media Networks on Sunday, the national call, as part of the Cowboys radio broadcast. So just wanted to ask you one last thing before we let you go. Really appreciate your time. You mentioned, obviously, Notre Dame alum. You follow them closely. You know how good they are. They've got Army at Yankee Stadium this week. I'm kind of like hoping Army somehow keeps that game competitive. I don't know if they win, but, you know, maybe they give them a run. How good is Notre Dame this year, especially in relation to the big boys that are currently ranked ahead of them, the Indianas, Penn States, Texas, that type of team?
Well, I would have a hard time ranking Notre Dame, really, you know, based on merit, even in the top 10. I've seen them play three times in person. I've got a daughter that's a freshman at Notre Dame right now, which is really exciting for me. So I get back whenever I can if the schedule permits.
Sure.
But I think they're a very good football team, but they haven't played anybody. They opened up with Texas A&M, who that turns out was a pretty good win to open up the season. But other than that, you know, they did beat a Georgia Tech team who beat Miami, but I think Miami is a little bit overrated as well. You know, they've been in a lot of close games that they should have lost. and Georgia Tech was just able to finish it off. So when you look at the schedule of who they've beat and how they've done it, they just haven't really faced the strong teams that would give me a little bit more comfort going into this playoff situation. I think they're a very good football team. I like the way that Riley Leonard is developing. I really thought he was going to be a great fit, and it was very disappointing the way the season started with how ineffective he was in terms of throwing the football. But now he's gotten more comfortable in offensive coordinator Mike Denbrock's offense, and I think the team is really starting to believe that they can be pretty good. We just don't have anything to measure it against. So this game tomorrow against Army, if it's a close game, which I think a lot of people want that, if it's a close game, I think that would be a success for Army, just to be able to establish themselves at that level. But I think that would be a little bit of a reason for pause on the Notre Dame bandwagon, because Notre Dame should go out and control this football game. There's no doubt. If they really want to be a playoff team, if they really want to have a chance to make a run, they should control this football game from start to finish and make a statement on Saturday in Yankee Stadium.
Steve, this has been great. Can't thank you enough. Hope to say hello in the press box on Sunday when you'll be doing the call for Compass Media Networks. Thanks again for doing this. Safe travels, and really appreciate your insight.
You got it, Chris. Take care.
There you go. That is Steve Berline. Good spot there. Glad we were able to make that happen. Thanks to Compass Media Networks for helping us out. If you want to, if you're listening on the Odyssey app here, you want to listen to the game broadcast, that is a great way to listen to the game on the Compass Media Networks. Again, Steve Berline will be on the call, and you heard what he said about Jaden Daniels, obviously a little Notre Dame at the end, and of course on the Cowboys, as he's been on that call all year long. So thanks to Steve Berline and Compass Media Networks. All right, when we come back, oh boy, speaking of Notre Dame, Maddie has found a story for us for Dum Dum of the Day that might just include Notre Dame. Details next.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we're wrapping up the shop and the show, not the shop. We're wrapping up the show right here on a Feel Good Football Friday. Craig Hoffman coming up next. Again, thanks to Steve Berline for a great spot there. Be on the call for the Compass Media Networks. Appreciate their help in making that happen. Glad we got that done. If you missed it, hit the Odyssey Rewind feature, or Maddie will have it podcast for you and clearly labeled, as is every segment of the show. But, especially if you have a good guest, we want to point you to that. And again, don't forget, if you missed Doc's throwback to the Redskins-Cowboy rivalry and everything in between, a bunch of his former teammates joining him, including Dexter Manley, Mark Mosley, earlier in the week, please go and check that out, theteam980.com. All right, you know what time it is.
It's time for Dum Dum of the Day.
All right, I think this is a first. Maddie found this one. BelfastLive.co. Mm. A U.S. ice hockey team, like one from Notre Dame, has apologized after deleting a tweet in which it advised fans traveling to Belfast, which is like, I don't know, Ireland, to not wear Irish symbols on their jerseys in case they caused offense. Of course, as you know, the Notre Dame moniker, nickname, what have you, is the Fighting Irish. They had even released a special Irish jersey ahead of their visit to Belfast. Well, the ice hockey team then posted on X that the guidelines were not reviewed and should not have been posted. So there shouldn't have been this warning out for people that are making the trip to not wear their Irish gear. They were worried about, you know, people being sensitive and offended. Please stop. Please, let's just stop being offended about every little thing. But they were worried.
Honestly, I would be more worried about the fact that there's a hard border and there is a history of violence with regards to the Irish fighting in Belfast being North Ireland versus Irish. I thought that was why they were like, hey, don't do it, because they were worried that it would incite riots.
That's fair, Maddie. That's fair. But they put up this, you know, this thing, right? Like, know before you go, Belfast, Northern Ireland, what not to wear. Green, Fighting Irish, Irish. And again, these are all in quotations. Shamrocks, Ireland flag, leprechaun. Again, they were kind of worried about the safety of their fans that were traveling and parents and so on. And the bottom line is this. They made a mistake. They got overjealous. They were expecting. They didn't know how many people would be making the trip. You know, when Navy football was over in Ireland last year, more than 50,000 people were there. So they're going to take on Boston University, Harvard, and Merrimack in this tournament next week in Belfast. But apparently now you can wear your gear. And if you get the crap kicked out of you, don't blame Notre Dame.
Congratulations, you're Chris's dum-dum of the day.
Yeah, so we tied that in with Steve Berline talking about Notre Dame and Army tomorrow night at Yankee Stadium. And don't forget Army-Navy here mid-December at Northwest Stadium. We will be doing the show live from Radio Row at near Arlington National Cemetery, I'm being told, for that particular Friday. That's in a couple of weeks. Meantime, have yourself a great weekend. I will be helping out Infinity Sports Radio Network on Sunday. So if you hear my updates, you want to check it out on the Odyssey app, go right ahead. Otherwise, we will see you Monday back here at 1 o'clock. Thanks for everybody being a part of the show. Thanks to Maddie Ice. Thanks to Steve Berline. And thanks to you for listening. Craig Hoffman up next. Adios. Have a good weekend.